Good afternoon. On behalf of the McQuown family, I thank you for being here, to be intentional in your support for them as we gather to celebrate God's gift of life to Charlotte, a life that was well lived, a life that touched many other lives. And as we think about this past Sunday, Easter Sunday, lifting up the resurrection of Christ Jesus, we gather here not with wishful thinking, but in a sure and certain hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the first fruits for all who believe. And Charlotte certainly had a deep faith. I believe that when we lose someone that is dear to us, that is close to us, God has created us in such a way that we grieve. And so my prayer for the family and for all of us is not that we won't grieve, but that we will grieve well and will be open to let God's Spirit lead us through that grieving process in a way where we experience His peace and experience healing and wholeness through that journey. And of course, it's a journey that makes all the difference knowing that you have loved ones with you. Just a couple of announcements regarding our gathering today. We are thankful that we have been able to resume in-person worship. And I thank everyone for following the guidelines and wearing a mask and social distancing within the sanctuary. In the past, following the service, the family would recess down the center aisle and would be available to visit with people. But given that we are making the light of the pandemic tunnel is shining brighter and brighter, but to exercise appropriate caution, following the service, the family will exit on the side door here, and I encourage everyone as you leave the sanctuary to then make your way outside and visit with those that you would like to. That way we'll continue to practice the guidelines and the safe protocols in place. A memorial service is a worship service in the Christian tradition. As we gather to give glory and honor and thanksgiving to God Almighty, the author and giver of life. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me will not remain in darkness." And with the psalmist, we gather trusting that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us worship God. Please join me in prayer. Almighty and loving God, you are our refuge and strength, a very present help in our time of grief. Therefore, we will not grieve as those who have no hope. For as a father has compassion for his children, so you, O Lord, have compassion for those who trust you. And as a mother comforts her child, so you, O God, comfort us. Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on earth. We are given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. All flesh is as grass, and all its beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word, O Lord, will stand forever. And this is our hope, for you are our God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Your love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. You alone can turn the shadow of death into the brightness of the morning light. Help us to turn to you with believing hearts. In the stillness of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that hearing the promises in Scripture, we may have hope and be lifted up above our distress into the love and peace of your presence, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you're able, I invite you now to stand as we sing our opening hymn, "How Great Thou Art."
I see the stars.
People down through the centuries have experienced strength and comfort, peace and courage and grace as they've come to God's Word, the Bible. In Scripture, God reveals His heart for humankind, of His great love for us. We know that we can really only know so much about a person as they're willing to share with us. And if that's true, we can see each other, how much more true is it for us to be able to know God's heart and we can't see God? But in the Scriptures, God makes it clear that He loves us with an everlasting love. The Scriptures for the Old Testament today were selected by Charlotte, as well as the music. She had pre-planned the service in very Charlotte-like, thorough fashion. And as a pastor, I certainly appreciate the help. The first reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And the second reading is the beloved 23rd Psalm. It's printed in your bulletin, and I invite you to join me as we read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now is the time of the service for a time of remembrance, and I'll invite Jacob to come forward to begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. To start, on behalf of the family, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for the outpouring of love and support that you've given to us, as well as Fred and Charlotte in the past year. Normally, I'd start off any speech or presentation I give with a big introduction of who I am, but if you know Charlotte, all I have to say is I'm her great-grandson, Jacob, and you already know more about me than some on all my social media. But I'd like to start by telling a story of one of the first memories that I have of my great-grandma. I just turned 4, and she was driving Josh and I to meet our newborn sister. In typical grandma fashion, she took us to McDonald's, and we're probably playing with her toys on the way there. I remember her walking us up to the room and our parents and meeting Hope for the first time. And you know, the reason I tell this story is my grandma had, Charlotte had many roles. She was a daughter, a sister, a parent, a wife, a grandparent, but I think not so secretly her role of great-grandparent was her favorite. She loved us great grandkids, as she would say, more than we will ever know. And she never failed to remind us of that every time she saw us. Outside of just us great grandkids, Grandma had a way of sharing her love with everyone that she met. So much so that I think she told my fiance Brenna that she loved her before I even did. I know how desperately she wanted to make it to our wedding, and she will be deeply missed there. However, I'm comforted in the fact that in her mind, Brenna was already part of the family. And even though she won't physically be there, her continuous outpouring of love when she was alive will carry on for many more years.
Hello, everyone. My name's Joshua, and I just wanted to share a few stories about my grandma to you guys. The first thing I think of is how she was always there at every single sporting event when we were growing up. No matter the time, no matter the day, she had to be there. She would always sit right behind my baseball games at the fence, and she'd always say, "Come on, Joshy, get a hit," every single time. In high school, it was extremely embarrassing for me at the time. But the older I got, the more I appreciate her cheering me on every game, and she truly was my biggest fan. Another memory that I have that comes to mind is something that happened this year. My mother and I decided to surprise her with a new mattress for her house so she could sleep more comfortably. And we walked into her house, and my mother said, "Josh has a surprise for you." And without hesitation, she said, "You finally got a girlfriend?" Unfortunately, all I had for her was a brand new mattress. That story makes me smile because it showed how much she was invested in our lives and wanted to see us happy. My whole life, I've called her grandma. But for those who have listened to her brag about us, you know we're more than that. We're her great-grandkids. And that's something that she was very proud of. It meant a lot to her, and we will always have great memories of her. And I feel very blessed to have known my great-grandma for this long of my life. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Hope, and I just want to start off by saying that my grandma was always such a faithful person. She never stopped believing in God's plan and made sure to bring nothing but kindness and love into people's lives. I miss her more than words can describe, but I rest easy knowing that she's in good hands. I'd like to take a moment to read a poem written by my great-great-great-grandma Finch. It's called Resignation. As God may give, so God may take, and life must come and go. Whatever weather may prevail is how the rivers flow. It is not ours to question him, to murmur or complain, or criticize him for the tears that mingle with the rain. Our sorrow and our tragedy are his divine command, and in the deepest darkness, we must try to understand. God rules the whole wide world, the universe he made, and if we love and honor him, we need not be afraid. If he wants us to be sad and undergo a loss, let us do his holy will and let us bear our cross.
Shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings. Bear you on the breath of dawn. snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings your refuge, his faithfulness your shield, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun. Dash your foot against a stone, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Thank you, Michelle and Tom, for that gift of music. And thank you for sharing about your great-grandmother. Obviously, precious memories. And memories make a big difference. Also, a gift from God. The New Testament readings, two that Charlotte selected, and the last one from John 14, one that I'm including as part of the message, I think speak to our relationship with God. In Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, he wrote these words: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And then the beloved and well-known passage from the New Testament, John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And then also from John's Gospel in chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 27. Jesus is speaking: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." And then Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. As we gather here on this Friday afternoon, with heavy hearts, with sadness in our spirits, at the passing of someone that is near and dear to us, that has touched our lives, even in this moment, through Christian hope and God's promises, there is joy to be lifted up. There is hope to be embraced. And during this time, as we hear the hymns that are sung, the scriptures that are read, and as we gather together to support one another, we will not believe or succumb to the lies that death seeks to whisper, if not shout into our very souls. It is a lie that God does not truly care. It is a lie that we are really all alone. It is a lie that we will be forgotten and remembered no more. It is a lie that ultimately Charlotte's life, your life, my life, has no ultimate or significant meaning. We won't buy into those lies. We'll push back on those lies through the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. And at times like this, as was shared, and I know as the family has shared with one another, and you've shared among yourselves experiences and times that you enjoyed with Charlotte, ultimately life comes down to relationships. We know that deep down, the bumper sticker that you can see on a car from time to time, which says, "He who dies with the most toys wins," is bogus. Nothing could be further from the truth. When it's all said and done, when we're coming down the home stretch of our time on earth, we don't focus on our bank accounts. We don't dwell on how much stuff we've accumulated. We think back to the relationships that meant the most to us, that touched our lives, and that we hope our lives mutually responded in some small way. And relationships like that, it's about love. And in our culture today, the word love is bandied about very freely and often casually. And for many, the word love simply means sentimental, warm, fuzzy feelings. And love certainly embraces the emotions and the feelings, absolutely. But from God's perspective, love is so much more. Love is about an act of the will where you love someone even when it's not easy, even when the challenges are there and the road gets rocky. We know that we are imperfect people. We are sinners saved by grace. I always remember, and Fred, I'm sure this is not true for you, but there was a pastor who shared one time when he was in premarital counseling that the pastor told him, "Clayton, don't expect to have a perfect wife until she has a perfect husband." And we know that in the ebb and flow of life, love requires us to forgive, to be gracious, to go the extra mile. Love calls us to offer a kind word, to be there with a helping hand, to see a bigger picture of what it means to build people up rather than to give in to our culture that so often seeks to tear people down. And so as we think about that kind of life-giving, life-transforming love, we think of God's love to us. In 1 John, we read, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. As we think about the relationship that God wants to have with each one of us, and I know the relationship that Charlotte enjoyed with her Lord, the words I read earlier, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And in talking to people, the focus that some have on that passage is the luxurious living accommodations that they will enjoy for all eternity. Jesus is going to prepare a wonderful place for me to live. I can't wait to see my beachfront property up in heaven. But the point that Jesus is making is not the dwelling place, our abode that we'll enjoy up in heaven. It's all about a relationship with Him. He goes, I am going to make the effort. I am being intentional to prepare this place for you so that what we can share life together, so that where I am, there you may be also. And the promise that Charlotte knew and that Fred knows and the family knows is that we can enjoy that relationship with God now. The Christian faith is not about going simply to heaven when you die, but it's the invitation to experience God's love real time, really in our lives each day. Jesus goes to prepare a place for us so we might know Him for eternity and we might know Him even now. In this world, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of beauty, and there's a lot of goodness and laughter. But we also know that in this world, there is a lot of hardship, there is a lot of pain, bitterness, brokenness, anger, violence, and shattered dreams. And the Christian faith balances both of those. And because of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, as we think back to Good Friday, as Christ laid His life down on our behalf on the cross, and as God raised Him from the dead, we are able to have the courage to face life as it really is. We don't have to live life with our heads buried in the sand. We don't live life with rose-colored glasses. We don't have a Pollyannish attitude to what's going on around us. Because God is with us and God's love is secure in Christ, we can then face those challenges and grow through those challenges in a way to help us become the person God has created us to be. So death doesn't have the last word, thanks be to God. Rather, God's love and grace in Jesus Christ gives us that last word of hope and promise. And yet, Christians grieve. We hurt. We miss those we love. So we grieve, but as the apostle says, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And when life doesn't make sense, and in this world we have to be honest, there are times where we just can't connect the dots. Life just doesn't seem together. Everything seems turned upside down. God invites you and me to look to the cross and say, because of the love I've already demonstrated to you supremely through my Son on Calvary, on that cross, can you trust me for those things that you can't possibly understand right now? We call that faith. And so I just want to close with some reflections from Bob Davenport, an interim associate pastor here years ago. And he shared these at Stephanie Carson's husband's service. And these are helpful words as we go on our journey about grief. Bob describes grief this way. Grief is the tax that love imposes on a loss. Like other taxes, grief may be deferred, postponed, and like other taxes, grief will come due with penalties. Bob went on to say, if your eyes don't cry, some other organ will. The grief we don't do will do us. Regarding the personal nature of grief, he offered these helpful insights. That our grief is an experience. Grief is intentionally personal. No one size, shape, color, or design fits all. No one can tell us how or for how long to express our grief. Grief is a strange mix of feelings. some of which seem mutually exclusive. Loss and relief, sadness and rage, loudness and silence. It expresses ranges from prayer-like reverence to near blasphemous curses. Bob closed his reflections on grief with these two sentences. In your grief, travel carefully. Seek understanding company. Grieve with abandon. Grieve with love. And in this case, so honor Charlotte's memory as nothing else could do. So in our grief, as we seek to live lives of faith, hope, and love, God encourages us to be sensitive to His still, small voice by His Holy Spirit. And may we take to heart the words we heard earlier that Jesus spoke out of love to His disciples and to all who would follow. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Amen. Please pray with me. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He lived as one of us, knew our joy, our pain, and sorrow, and died our death. By His death on the cross, you revealed your love for us has no limit. By raising Him from the dead, you conquered the last enemy and gave new life to the world. In His victory, you comfort us with the hope of eternal life and assure us that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Almighty and loving God, we know that life is a gift. We rejoice and give thanks for the gift of life you gave to your dearly beloved child, Charlotte Jean McQuown. We give you thanks for the loving and generous ways that Charlotte shared that gift with others. We thank you for her example of living life with faith, with hope, and with love. Charlotte fought the good fight. She finished the race. She kept the faith. Dear Lord, we thank you that Charlotte may rest from her labors and enter into the light of your eternal rest. Receive, O Lord, your servant, for she returns to you. May Charlotte hear your words of welcome. Come, you, blessed of my Father, and receive the unfading crown of glory. May the angels surround her and the saints welcome her in peace. Dear Lord, knowing that you take us seriously and you love us with an everlasting love, may you meet each person where they are in their lives, and by your grace, may we draw strength, courage, and peace, trusting that all of your promises have been answered yes in your Son, Jesus. And we offer this prayer in His name, for Jesus is the one who knows us the best and loves us the most. And Jesus showed us how to live, and Jesus taught us how to pray. And we offer now the prayer He taught His first disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to stand, if you're able, as we sing our closing hymn, Amazing Grace.
I want
And now as we prepare to go out into God's world and leave this house of prayer, we do so confident of the love of God, a love that is shown to us in beautiful and surprising ways each day. And we receive the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a grace that picks us up and dusts us off and puts us back on the path of life day after day. And to know that in Christ, God gives us His Holy Spirit, who makes a home in our hearts now and for all the days that are yet to come. Amen. Rise for the closing recessional.